Caleb Collier says that this proposal is meant to protect their Second Amendment rights.
I'm proposing that the city of Spokane Valley issue a proclamation stating that our city is a Second Amendment sanctuary city.
To the fire. Today on Church and State, we'll be joined by the inconquerable Heidi St. John. Hello, Christian patriots, and welcome to Church and State, where we strive to plug you into the pew and plug you into politics. I'm your host, Caleb Collier. With me, as always, Pastor Gabe Blomgren.
I love to use the term inconquerable. Why? Because this woman has made it a decision that she's going to have a faith that speaks. Paul said, if you don't speak, if you don't say anything, it's not faith. So you got to get out there and say something. And this is what she's dedicated to. Her blogs, her ministry is what I would call as a pastor. This is a pastor. I don't know if she sees herself as a pastor, but then she's recently dabbled. She's gone headfirst into politics. So this is your love language.
As Christian politics. Patriots, we're gonna love her absolutely. Yes. Before we bring her on, real quick, go to churchandstate.media. This is where you're gonna be able to download all of our shows. Also check out all of our fine affiliates. And if you want to donate to us, you can find it there as well. Lastly, if you want to contact us, churchandstate 1776 at proton.com. Not me. With that, I'm excited to bring on Heidi St. John. Now, this is a woman, as Gabe said, who is absolutely conquering this planet for the kingdom of God. And she is leading so many women.
She's using God's secret weapon, which we've stated on the show many times before, is the mama bear. The most powerful force on the planet.
I think that's well said.
You look your wife in the face and ask her if, you know, she disagrees. She'll agree with you.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, I guess with that intro, let's just go ahead and bring on Heidi. Thank you so much for joining us on Church and State.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. So you have been, obviously, as of late, you made a foray into politics, and you discovered the nasty world that is. Unfortunately, that has become, especially Republican politics, as of late. It's actually, it's not unique to the Republican Party, because now we're seeing it in the Christian faith as well. We'll go down that road in a little bit. But can you just talk a little bit about what you saw in politics for those that are uninformed?
Yeah, well, I went into it as a, absolutely wet behind the ears, never having run for anything in my life. I've been going to school board meetings for a long time, since long before it was cool. This homeschool mother of seven has been going to school board meetings and watching the systematic destruction of our young people through the government school systems. And then I realized, oh my goodness, all politics is local. What's happening to our cities is really coming down from it's almost a corruption and a church that's disengaged from the process, because the church was told, hey, two things that don't mix, politics and religion, right? Forget that Thanksgiving is all about politics and religion. The church is supposed to be outside of that, not inside of it. And so we insulate ourselves inside the four walls of our churches. And I decided early on, right after there was an impeachment vote against President Trump, I looked at my congressional district, CD3, here in Washington State, and our elected official had voted to impeach a sitting Republican president who, to my understanding, should have had some sort of a trial before we did that. And yet we jumped to impeachment. And so I threw my hat in the ring at that point. I just thought, this is ridiculous. The founding fathers are rolling in their graves. We were supposed to be running for office and then staying there for a little while and then going back to our farms and our families. But now we have a ruling class that has literally just set itself up in D.C. So I ran because I thought, put me in the ring with Nancy Pelosi. That woman will not know what hit her. I ran because I love this country. I ran because I have grandchildren now. I ran because, as a believer, I'm supposed to put feet to my faith. And what I encountered in a Republican primary was more discouraging to me, more devastating to me personally as a lifelong conservative than anything the Democrats could have thrown at me. And that is this: the Republican Party is in disarray. The Republican Party is leaderless right now. They're rudderless. And I saw more vindictiveness, more cheating, more, liars in the Republican Party, bullies really, then I wasn't ready for that. I was ready to fight the Democrats. Right. I wasn't prepared for what I saw. And frankly, I think in large part, it's because God's people have decided this is a sphere of influence that we don't belong in. And so they have checked out.
You're absolutely right. We were talking a little bit off air about this, but Gabe and I, for both of us, we actually oftentimes prefer the Democrats because at least they're honest. Like when they tell you they want to take away your guns and they want to kill babies, like they're being honest about that.
The gloves are off.
But the Republican Party, they'll line up behind you and suddenly you realize you're getting knifed in the back.
Yeah.
And you're dead on with that because Christianity... Look, if we want to change this world, if we want to bring back this country to its original intent, and that was the intent to be behind God's laws, behind the moral standard of Christianity, then we've got to flood the Republican Party with Christians, and then we can actually see change. But right now, the fight is between the neocons and the MAGA Republicans and the dark MAGAs, an element in there, and it's nasty.
Yeah, it's really too bad. And we need a return of the Black Robe Regimen. We need God's people to get off the bench and onto the battlefield again to begin to talk about these issues. You know, 95% of the issues that we're facing as a country are moral at their root. Transgenderism, homosexuality, what's happening at our borders. Turns out God's a fan of the wall, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, God's a fan of nations, and we are called to protect our own nation. And so to me, if the church doesn't speak into this void and speak into it soon, I believe, and I told you this before we began recording, I think we're going to see chaos in our elections going forward. It's a scary time that the country's in. I personally, listen, I know where I'm going, right? Mm-hmm. And so I know who I belong to. I seek a city to come whose architect and builder is the Lord, but I also know that my faith should have feet to it. And I love to ask, the men and women that listen to my podcast, listen, if your faith found its voice, what would God have you say? If your faith found its feet, where would God have you go? We're here for this time in human history, right? No accident that you guys are here with me in 2023 when you could have been born 50, 60, 150,000 years ago. No, God said right now in 2023 is when you're going to be in my story. We are at an absolutely incredible pivotal moment in the history of the church and in the history of our nation. The question is, what are we going to do about it?
And I want to ask you a question off of that. That's a great starting point because you, as I'm correct, are based out of Vancouver, correct, Heidi?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you are a Washingtonian, and we've kind of said that now with a little bit of a wince. There's just I live in Washington and I choose to live here. It's almost like we look at Port Oregon and we just wince and sigh. But now the sickness is in Washington State. We see, and I'm going to name three things that are going on in Washington, and I want you to choose one of them at your leisure, because I believe these three things are one of the biggest influencers right now on our community. And the first one is the fentanyl addiction and crisis, opiate crisis. And also this woke feminism to where men are emasculated. And here's the thing, you empower women, but I know you have a husband who really supports you and you make him better. And behind every, great man is a very great woman. So that woke feminism. And then lastly, this religious oppression. It's not really about canceling. I've been saying to Caleb that we are approaching a Kristallnacht event as Christians, where the Jews were literally kicked out of their communities and put into ghettos. And that's what's happening. We religious oppression. So
can I just add one more?
Yes. Go ahead.
How about the government legalizing kidnapping? Cause that's what just happened with 5599.
Transgender.
But anyway, yeah, you pick one, or you can discuss all four.
Well, I mean, to me, obviously, the woke feminism is what injures, I think, the culture more than anything else right now. My husband and I have been married for 34 years in about a week.
Congrats.
And we have 7 children together now and 4 grandchildren. And I can tell you, it's we need each other. Right. God created us male and female for a reason. And the fact that we have been emasculating our men now, this didn't just start, right? The emasculation of our men started decades ago. We watch this in our sitcoms. And who's the idiot in the sitcom? It's the dad. Yeah. He's the stupid dummy. The mom has to come in. And
exactly.
Every single time. And so really what we're now doing is just taking it a step farther, right? To say, well, these men, look at them. They're not really doing what they're supposed to be doing. doing, and now we brought in homosexuality, we've normalized it, you know, relationships between two men and two women, and we need each other. I praise God for the strong men in my life. And listen, I'm a woman who grew up with a home, in a home where I actually had an abusive father. I've written about it extensively in some of the books that I've written. But I will tell you right now, we need strong men. This idea that masculinity is toxic is a lie from the pit of hell. We need each other, and we need our strong men. We need them more than anything else. I was driving into the office this morning, and I noticed on the side of the road, there's a whole bunch of guys putting in a brand new gas line. You know who I didn't see out there putting in a gas line? Not a single woman. I didn't see a woman with a pickaxe in her hand. I didn't see a woman, you know, driving that excavator. I saw men out there who are equipped for that work, and we need them. We need women to be able to raise children and not look down on it. Some of the most difficult thing that you will ever do is be locked up with little people for 8 or 9 or 10 years in a row, right? And so this idea that, and I think feminism has hurt women. It has done more harm than good to women. Motherhood is an incredibly high calling. And the fact that we would like to say, you know, we're, you know, these empowered women, you know, we're singing, you know, anything you can do, I can do better. What a lie.
Yeah.
What a lie from the pit of hell. I did not know what I would do without my husband. And it leads to the medical kidnapping that now we are seeing. Because where are the men? I love to see the men. Men show up to these school board meetings. Men stand at the doors of these women's restrooms. And men are coming in now dressed as women. You want to see toxic masculinity? That's toxic masculinity. Right. These dudes who will tell you that they're women and come into your restroom and there's nothing you can do about it. I'll tell you what, that happens in front of my husband. And that guy's not going to be coming out feeling very good about himself.
Yeah.
Right? Because my husband will stand in defense of his wife and his daughters. We need our men to stand in defense of women and children right now. And unfortunately, now for decades and decades, we've said, we don't need you. We don't want you. Don't hold the door open for me. I can do it for myself. It is just, it's such a sad condition that we're in as a culture right now. But if we would go back to what the Bible says, I created you in my image,
yes,
male and female. We are created on purpose with a purpose, and we're different. Thank God for our differences. I say we celebrate them and not try to make this society that's androgynous in which the differences don't exist. It's so important. And that's what opens the door, in my opinion, to all these other things that are happening. Medical kidnapping, where are men?
Yeah.
Right?
5599
passes in Washington, where are the men?
So what I like to do, Heidi, and you know, these radical feminists are really easy to identify. You know, they got the short hair.
They're angry.
Multicolored. They look angry. Piercings all over their face. So what I like to do is I actually like to rush ahead of them as they're trying to enter a building, and then I hold the door closed.
Yes.
And so I force them to overpower me to get the door open. You know, like just celebrating feminism right there. It's awesome.
And good job.
I've seen women who get offended when I open the door for them. So when you keep it shut and you make them work for it, you know, you should say, hey, you should be thanking me. You did so good. You opened it yourself.
Listen, I'm the girl who, you know, you go, and when a man opens the door for me, I go out of my way to say thank you so much. Mm-hmm. You know, and a true woman who recognizes her worth as a woman recognizes a man's worth by virtue of the fact that he's a man, that we're different, that we need each other. And I thank God for the strong, godly men who are standing up for what is right in the culture right now. I'm not equipped to go out physically and do the work of a man. You're not going to send Heidi St. John to the front lines. Well, I mean, you can do it, but it ain't going to help you, right? We've got to recognize that God made us different on purpose and celebrate the differences.
Absolutely. I served in the Marine Corps, and I didn't want women in combat. And what the studies have proven is that when women are in combat, men take their eye off of the objective, which is to destroy the enemy, right? To take the territory. And they want to protect that woman, and it takes you out of the fight. All right. And so it's not a good situation, but you can look down the line, you know, firefighting, right? I want the biggest, burliest firefighter coming into that building to take my limp body, because I've inhaled too much smoke, out of that building. I don't want a 110-pound woman trying to drag me. That does not work. And so there's a lot of fields where, they're men specific, and that's okay. And we should accept that, and we should celebrate that. And that's exactly what you're talking about there.
Well, we've gotten rid of objective truth, right? And so now all of a sudden, the truth of Oprah Winfrey, which I grew up in the 70s and 80s, you know, watching Oprah Winfrey talk about her truth and your truth and his truth, right? And we've gotten rid of objective truth. Well, it's objectively true that men and women are different. We're different biologically, for starters, but our brains are wired 100% differently as well. We think differently. We look at the world in a different way, and we need each other. I think, you know, God did that on purpose. So the moment we start saying, well, men can become women or women can become men, we have embraced a lie in this country. And this is where, again, I would say the church needs to be at the front of this thing,
so good,
and not downstream from it. Why are we downstream with a net going, hey, we'll just catch everybody as they fall off a cliff? We should be upstream.
Amen.
Saying, no, there is such a thing as objective truth. And once we get rid of that, the only answer to a bold lie, you guys, is bold truth. The church has a role to play in this right now, and that is to tell the truth, to stand in defense of righteousness, to stand in defense of the truth, to begin again to say, no, we're not going to allow this in our schools, we're not going to allow this in our communities, and be able to stand boldly in defense of what we know to be right. But even that is gone. We're living in a time of cowards in the church. I've never seen anything like it.
So let me ask you this, okay? There's a two-part question. Charlie Kirk came to our city. He said, if your church the day after 9/11 abortion was given back to the states, it became a state's rights. Obviously, we know that abortion is still legal through federal, you know, the Supreme
Court.
In
the states,
yes. But to the state, now we have states like Tennessee, where it's no longer legal. He posed this question, if your church did nothing, was silent that Sunday following, their website was absolutely mute from having any type of celebration, there was nothing in the announcements, nothing whatsoever. The pastor said nothing from the pulpit to recognize that moment in history where I was bawling my eyes out that morning when I saw the news.
Too.
I wept in the shower. I literally cried my eyes out and laughed and then cried some more. If your church did nothing, Charlie said, why are you still there?
Yeah.
And I want to ask you, is there in your area strong, and I'm going to say this intentionally, masculine, strong churches? Because I think a lot of the reason why husbands are checking out from church and from religion and from faith in general is because they're wearing khakis and they're pacifists because their wives have drugged them to church. What is your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Reid, and we can see a good church is not found by the number of people in the parking lot. Good churches are found by the commitment to truth and our commitment to standing boldly. And it's countercultural right now, right? Anybody can go, hey, everyone's welcome here. The transgenders, everyone, God loves what he does. He loves you, right? But sin is sin. We got to stand for righteousness in the culture. There are very few, and I hate to say this because my son-in-law is a pastor and he's doing a phenomenal job here in Clark County, Washington, shepherding his church. I can count on one hand the number of churches who I think are led by bold, unapologetic Christians right now. One hand. And that's saying a lot because I'm surrounded by hundreds of churches. And you know how I kind of did my final count? I did it in COVID. Mm-hmm. When these cowardly churches stayed closed, or they wouldn't let their people sing, or, you know, for whatever reason, right, they shuttered their churches, the suicide rate skyrockets. We have inside of us the hope of heaven, Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Who is the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, do not fear. We read in the Psalms that our days have been ordained for us before we took a single breath. And whether it's COVID or cancer or car accident, some's going to take you out. And in the meantime, we are called to live fearlessly before the Lord. That's not to be stupid. I'm not asking people to go lick the doorknobs. I'm saying that we lost common sense, right? Because the Bible teaches that's what happens. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And when the spirit of fear becomes a thing that we worship, we lose the power, we lose the love, and we lose the soundness of mind. And that's what we saw happen in churches across Washington State and Oregon and across the country. And I frankly think it was a good thing for the church because now we know if they do this again, we know exactly where not to go.
Absolutely. So working for TPUSA Faith, my primary job is to go into churches and to establish relationships with pastors and to encourage them to shape the culture. I love what you just said. You know, if politics is downstream of culture, then Christians should be upstream of that.
Yes.
We should be influencing that. And so I joke that I professionally get kicked out of churches because the amount of churches that are like, nope, not interested, or call me a Christian nationalist or whatever bad words they can come up with is ridiculous. But I do want to talk to your son-in-law because he sounds like just the kind of pastor that I'd love to partner with on this.
He's a great guy. And, you know, you want to hear a sad commentary on the churches right now. When I was running for Congress, I contacted 200 churches in Congressional District 3. And all I was saying was, hey, I'm a homeschool mom of seven. I live in Vancouver, Washington. I'm running for Congress. I'd love to just come and talk to your women's Bible study. I'd love to set up a table. I wasn't asking to preach on a Sunday morning. I wasn't asking to come in and tell everybody how to vote. I was just saying, can I please introduce myself? Do you know how many of those churches replied to me?
Two out of 200.
We heard over and over again, oh, our church doesn't do politics. And I finally said to one of those pastors, I said, believe me, you may not do politics, but politics is doing you. Mm-hmm. And because of your inability, I heard, boy, we're a 501c3. And so I started telling him, you know what that C stands for, that 501c3? The C stands for coward. And if it's keeping you from doing what God wants you to do, lose your stupid 501c3. Because why do you have it? Money.
Yeah, no,
it's an illusion. Money. Anyway.
It's so good. Well, anyway. They are never going to let that rabbit out of the hat, because as soon as they go for a church, and they've done it one time, they did it in New York, and they went after a church and they lost.
You can speak out. Churches, even with a 501c3, they can't speak out. It's a cop out. Hey, I want to do something. I want to do a little, I'm all over the place, but I don't care. We have the world's best mom with us, and we have a lot of women who listen to this show in their 60s, and there's some moms who are grandkids. I'm gonna give her a role playing opportunity. I'm gonna pretend right now that I am her teenage either grandson or son.
And you're definitely whiny enough to pull that off.
All right. Yeah. I'm using drugs, Heidi. You just found out that I've been using marijuana, these little vape pens, you know, that are no smell. And as a parent, vaping is toxic right now to young kids and teenagers. It's an epidemic. And these vape devices can now have all kinds of drugs inside them. Where do you... Guide the moms. Where do they start? Did they send this upstream to dad? What do they have a conversation? Do they restrict? What would you do if this is happening and a kid is, you know, 17 years old using drugs in the home?
I always tell parents, listen, the Bible says that bad company corrupts good character. So I want to know who my kid is hanging out with. And I want to know, is my kid the bad company, right? We have to be able to look at both sides of that coin, but the time for passive parenting is over. Right. So I'm not the passive mother. I've actually become the butt of a lot of jokes in my family because my son-in-law told me the other day that my gift, mercy is not my gift. and so I would be inclined to say, listen, I'm going to go through your room right now. I mean, I would. If it was my kid, if it was my teenage son, I'd be saying, we're going to go through your room. Everything that you own that even resembles something that can help you vape, or if I see any other kind of paraphernalia, then I'm going to go through your phone. We're going to talk about who your friends are. Honestly, you guys, I cannot stress this enough. Parents have checked out. We check out every time we send our kids to school. We drop them off at the front door of that school and we're like, see you later. You know, bye-bye. I'm going to check out. We check out when we give our kids to the youth pastor, right? We check out when we send our kids to Sunday school. And I'm not anti-Sunday school and anti-youth group necessarily.
I get your spirit.
But I do think that's a lot of it. And you've got to step up to the plate and start doing the hard thing. We've been told not to do the hard thing because the school will do it for you or the youth pastor will do it for you. Except for God says it's actually your responsibility. And so when a mom or a dad find out that they've got issues in their home, I don't care if it's vaping or pornography or whatever it is the job of the parent, not the state, not the school, not the pastor. It's the job of the parent. And guys, I got to tell you, the number one complaint that I get from women as I cross this great country of ours, and I speak probably 3 weekends a month in my busy season. It's that they feel that their husbands are not leading in the home. And I'm always saying, what did you think was going to happen? We just spent the last 40 years telling them that we don't need them to lead in the home. Wow. Sit down, shut up. We'll do it for you. Now that's our reality. And the women are starting to go, hey, wait, we need our men to step up again in the home. And so that aspect of spiritual leadership, I think, is so desperately needed right now. But the time for passive parenting is over. You step out of the driver's seat in your child's car or in your child's life, and the culture is going to lie to them. They're going to tell them that they're born in the wrong body. They're going to tell them that drugs are a great way to escape all the stress and pressures of life right now. They're going to lie to them about socialism. They're going to make our kids think that up is down and down is up. Parents are needed right now. You can't pass on what you don't possess. Mm-hmm. So we got to be in the Bible for ourselves. We got to be saying, Lord, give me enough today for my children. What would happen, you guys, if we focused first on our families. And Come we on. Made sure before we did anything else, before you get involved in politics, before right. you say, I'm going to be on a church potluck committee or whatever it is that you want to do, that your home is in order, that your marriage is in order, that your children are walking with the Lord. If we would honor God's priorities, we could turn this thing around. But instead, we want to get on social media. We want to pacify ourselves by just sort of checking out. The school system has given parents the ability to completely check out of their lives. 5 days a week, 9 months of the year, 8 hours a day, somebody else is raising your child. We got to do some serious thinking about where that's got us and how do we fix it.
It's so good. And one of the things that you do, and I wanted to make sure you had an opportunity as we're winding down to plug your websites, because you lead people through all of these different
right.
studies.
You're
doing a Bible
podcast.
Study as well. But also, I wanted to address for the audience, you have opened up a homeschooling website here. And Gabe and I talk about this all this time. Get your kids out of public school.
Oh,
it is
man.
It is the worst place you can possibly have them. I've got my kids in private school. Gabe's got
As
his
she
kids
kept saying,
in
drop your kids off at school. Yeah. It wasn't public school. It's Christian school. And even there, that's not enough. That's so keep
You're
going.
Still
going
to be involved well, here. Yes.
You know what? I do think, and I want to just speak to that for a second, because I'm not anti-Christian school. I graduated from a Christian school, but I will tell you, having graduated from a Christian school, that the same plague
right.
that's in parenting is in the Christian schools because
yeah.
we disengage. Stop disengaging from the lives of your children. The school is not there to parent your kids. And we just go, hey, you know, it's like a big giant babysitter. So, you know, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, see you later, bye. And we check out. And I do think that's a large part of the reason why we got to where we are.
I completely agree with that. We've got to be plugged into our kids. Otherwise, we're going to lose them. And we're going to wake up one
yes.
day. And it's going to be the most depressing moment in your life when you realize, I don't know my own kid. My kid doesn't want to be involved with me. My kid is a socialist. My kid is, you know, on the LGBTQ spectrum. And it's all because of the indoctrination that is occurring at, in their most formative years. So real quick, plug what you're doing right now, because we only got about a minute left here.
It'd be easier to plug what I'm not doing. So we have, my husband and I have launched the Firmly Planted Homeschool Resource Center. It is the nation's largest homeschool resource center, the only one of its kind. Our grand opening is tomorrow night at 6 p.m. We're going to be dedicating this building to the Lord. An incredible story, you guys, of God's provision, which we don't have time to talk about now. But that building, we paid cash for that building in
wow.
June, $16.4 million. We
wow.
own that building
Thank
free
you,
and
Jesus.
Clear. Just absolutely the Lord. But you know what I think it is? It's evidence that God cares about what's happening to his kids right now. Our children are being assaulted. They are being injured, body, soul, mind, and spirit, by the messages that are coming out wow. of our schools and our libraries and our mainstream media. And God is saying, these are my kids. So Jay and I are building educational arcs to help parents get their kids out of the woke waters and back into the solid ground of scripture. That's our new building right there on the screen.
That's awesome.
So we're going to be dedicating that building to the Lord tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m. And then my brand new book, my eighth book just came out, Momstrong 365. I run a discipleship ministry for women, and that is called Faith That Speaks, or formerly Momstrong International. We're getting ready to study the book of Revelation, which we're very excited
That's awesome.
To do. We'll be... That book, the book of Revelation, so fascinating. People are afraid of it, but I think it's a hope book. It's,
yes.
you know,
Amen.
you could title this study, The King is Coming, because mm-hmm. he is. The Lord is going to return. And the Bible says he's going to come from heaven with a shout. And I'm living for that day. I'm looking forward to it. I have a podcast that airs 5 days a week, just past 21 million downloads. And people can find that anywhere podcasts are available. It is called Off the Bench with Heidi St. John, and Jay and I are just really excited to see what God's going to do. What an amazing time to be a Christian. You know, people can be discouraged. You know, it seems like, you know, I don't watch the legacy media anymore. I'm focused on God, what do you want me to do? I'm here for this time of new ministry. Heidi St. John's here right now. You guys are here. Gabe's here. Caleb's here. We're here. So what do you want us to do? I can guarantee you he doesn't want us to sit around and just wring our hands and worry and fret and watch the news. That is not what we are called to do. And so Jay and I have been putting feet to our faith and feet in the faith community for a long time. Just this week, we launched Firmly Planted Action, and the tagline of that nonprofit organization is Action with Integrity. The idea is to bring statesmanship and civics back to American culture. And so we're going to be focused on that, training people how to run for office, why it's so important that we understand the Constitution. Listen, if the American people understood the Constitution, those COVID lockdowns would have been a nothing burger.
Right. Never would have happened. Yeah.
Never would have happened, but because we don't understand our Constitution or our rights has been given to us by God in our Constitution, we allowed that to happen. It can never happen again. So like I said, we got our fingers in a lot of different
You are doing
right
so much. That is one busy woman right there. So Heidi, we're actually over time, but we really appreciate it, and we'd love to have you back again sometime.
Let's do it again.
Excellent. All right. Church and State is sponsored in part by Patriot Church and the Constitution Party.
I'm Gabe Blomgren, and a calm does not suit me.
And I'm Caleb Collier, and I was born for a storm.
Welcome to the fire.